Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about why your mailer busted. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Casual Fridays REI consulting program. We're really excited to be offering this, guys. Basically, we're here to help. It doesn't matter if you're brand new to this and you just want some help picking and pricing a county, or you've been at it for a while, you're looking for some help on ways to expand. All you got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com. Click on the consulting tab, walk through the sign up, and then we'll be in touch to help you get started.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wasn't ready for that.
I was ready
for it's Monday.
I know. I was going to look for something else. I need to like look up Monday like welcomes on Google and just kind of see what else we can do. Just something a little different.
Okay. I mean, I was thinking about that. Speaking of something a little different, it's when do we upgrade the podcast? You know, how long do people want to hear me doing my intro? You know, maybe
I've got your intro memorized. I could do it with my co-host Adam Southey. See, I think maybe they might like that.
I mean, they might. Yeah,
I kind of got goosebumps when I did it. So it's Monday. Did you have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. Yeah, yeah. I headed to the winery without you on Friday.
I know you did. I was sick all last week. I'm still struggling.
I still saw you have a drink though.
I mean, you went to the winery, mm-hmm. and you came over.
Yeah.
And you brought two bottles of wine.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a drink of them.
No. Nope.
I drank some sweet tea vodka and water.
Yeah. Everyone else drank the wine. It felt odd going out there without you, especially because it's like, I don't know, a mile from your house.
Yeah. But no, it's been a little bit since we've been. I think it's been 3-4 weeks.
No, it has definitely not been 3 or 4 weeks.
I think it has. I was sick all last week. We didn't go the week before. Mm-mm. We went to Rio Mambo instead and sat on the patio there the week before.
I'm gonna say 10 days max.
My wife takes a selfie every time we go, so I will be able to tell you the exact date the last time we went.
Okay.
So I think it's been 3 weeks.
No, it has not been 3 weeks.
I'm gonna figure this out after this episode.
All right.
And we'll give an update on Wednesday. But I will say that y'all came over because MB wanted to sit on a patio, and mm-hmm. you know, we have a nice patio at our house. Our backyard's okay. Mm-hmm. We made a fire. I was thinking about that though. Me and you did not talk about land one bit sitting at that table. We actually, MB and Jessica talked the entire time. I don't think maybe combined me and you said 100 words.
I think we're going to disagree on that as well, because we definitely talked land.
We talked land when we walked to the table, but when we were actually sitting there, we were listening to like the 2000s hip hop. Mm-hmm. We were listening to some like 50 Cent, some Chingy. She didn't even know who Chingy was.
I don't.
She's like, ooh, I like that song. And it was Chingy.
I don't know who Chingy is. What's the song? Go ahead, sing it.
I don't remember the song.
Okay.
Is it Right There?
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. I don't know who Chingy is.
Yeah. He was an artist. I know the song. Hip hop in early 2000s.
Okay.
So, but I was thinking about that. I was like, we didn't like, it wasn't like this one-sided conversation where we just dominated it with land talk. They actually just talked back and forth about stuff, which I guess was nice. And probably both needed it. So.
Yeah.
I guess that's being an adult, having adult friendships.
Letting someone else talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for us because when we run land businesses and run a land podcast and that's what we love, then how do you talk about, it's like, how do you talk about something different?
Yeah. I mean, you have been talking about the storage building quite a bit here lately.
Well, yeah, I have.
You're wanting it bad.
Yeah. I mean, for those listening, one of my dreams is to own a self-storage facility. Uh-huh. And I wasn't looking because I don't want to take focus away, but mm-hmm. one came across and it's mm-hmm. highly undervalued and it's a really good price. And I'm kind of bored right now because all my mail, I'm waiting for it to hit, and my last mailer went bust. And
it's the 2 week stagnant.
Yeah. So like my attention has been drawn towards it. And I think the smart move is to not buy it, but it's could be a good moneymaker.
Yeah. You said your mailer went bust, but you still you have one in title right now.
Yeah, I consider that it went bust just because of, you know, the due diligence thing that I couldn't do.
Okay. So,
I had property come back.
Yeah, okay. You know? I was about to say, you didn't bust, completely. You had some deals sitting on your desk, and once we figured that piece out, it's not like you didn't get anything back.
Yeah, the mailer was successful. It was the
follow-through, to get through the whole period.
Yeah, yeah. Not being, you know, I've got, like, 8 or 12 accepted offers.
Okay.
But I just can't find the property.
Yeah. Hmm. So, I mean, that's it brings up an interesting point. We're going to talk today why your mailer went bust. And, you know, that's a great thing. There's some people that mail strike that you know, measure everything. They have their KPIs. And they're like, oh, my mailer only got, you know, a 4% response rate or a 1% response rate. Or I only closed on 0.01% or whatever that their goal is for their business. And yours hit those. So you'd be successful in that mindset. But, you know, and there's others that just look at how much money they generated from their mailer that say, hey, I sent $2,000 worth of marketing material out, and I know I should make at least $30,000 back after the whole process is done. And there's people that measure it that way. I'm more of the latter than, you know, the measure everything on the front side. But, you know, to consider that a bust, I don't know. You know, we've seen some busted mailers, and I've seen some guys, their data, and it looks, you know, hey, right off the bat, it jumps out because it's a different perspective, and you start asking questions, and you're like, oh, okay. So what do you think one of the major reasons something goes bust?
Yeah, I actually see this a lot when I'm looking at other people, or they ask me, like, what I think happened. And for me, it always seems to be, like, the same thing when I look at them, and it's always... What's the right way to say it? Maybe a mix of the county they chose might not be a great one. And what I mean by that is, like, there's some rural land, but then there's also a big city. And when you pull the data for the entire county, if you don't go in and change that and you just make an offer, like if you don't go in and just pick the rural land or the city where the rural land is, and then you mail a 25, 30, 35% offer to that entire county, well, you're going to hit some, but then you're also going to hit the big city where land, where your 35% offer may come out to be a 5% offer.
Yeah.
And those are the people that are, they probably know what their land's worth. They're not going to respond well to what you have to say. And then the amount of rural land that you mail, there might not be enough to actually get a good response.
Yeah. So not a big enough pool of, for the statistics to actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I think that's a great thing. And I, you know, as we kind of price similar, I think that you get a little more granular than I do a lot of times. But one of the key steps I take away when we talk about that is, and I tell these people that as we're consulting, we're helping a price, I'm like, okay, watch the towns as you're going through that and watch the pricing. We want to get a good solid range on our pricing. So if it's the market value, when we put everything down, you know, so if it's Lands of America and it says we're seeing solid pricing between $1,500 an acre and $2,400 an acre, and then you got one outlier that's like $3,700. Well, you've got a pretty good range. There's a $500 swing in there. That's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And then if you don't see that, you know, as you're watching those towns, if you see $6,000 an acre in this one town, it says Dallas, cities of Dallas, and then you have Ennis, the same, you know, same area. These counties don't make sense, but if you follow just what I'm saying, and you'll see consistently a $1,200 and a $1,200, $1,200, but you can watch those towns on those listings to see, and you can split it that way.
Mm-hmm. And then that's basically what I think I'm saying is, like, when I'm talking to someone's new, I'm saying look for counties that have pricing consistency, where you go on Lands of America, you look at the pricing and everything is consistent. You know, like you said earlier, $1,500 plus or minus a couple throughout the whole county.
Yep.
Because when you're new, because you just mail the whole county.
Yeah.
Right. As you get more experienced at this.
I still mail the entire county.
Well, I would.
I'm crazy.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I do get just a little bit more granular. I'm not as granular as I used to be, though. But yeah. I still just look for that pricing consistency because I have broken out a county before. Mm-hmm. And I've had really good success, but it does take quite a bit more time.
Yeah. I call it, you know, the risk reward or the, is it worth my time to get that investment back? Does it, the one or two deals actually work? I'm still on the fence on that. I haven't been proven otherwise that I need to get book and page on it and start running down that, because what I've seen is the people that got addicted to it by doing it one way, then they try to outsmart themselves and they get into some trouble because they're trying to manipulate the data too much on the front end versus just generating the lead with the blind offer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, hey, stupid is a stupid does, sir. That's somehow a Forrest Gump thing there, I guess. I want to believe that it's not as difficult as we make it a lot of times.
I don't think it is difficult. I mean, I don't want, hopefully we're not coming across that way. And I kind of think we're saying the same thing, right? It's just like, look for that pricing consistency. And in my experience, the mailers I've seen bust is when someone's mailing where 20 acres in the same county ranges from 20,000 to 80,000.
No, I see that. Second thing that I see common is he didn't offer enough money.
Yeah.
And it kind of piggybacks off what you just said, but you know, and sometimes we just don't offer enough money. And you see this real common as people start to scale up and they get out of that. As we talk about, and I've said it over and over, is I love that $1,000 to $2,000 range, and I love offering them 35% because that seems to be a sweet spot from experience. There's no scientific method behind it other than experience that it works. But what I found is if I get over that two and get up over that, you kind of want to tick your price up just a little bit more. Because as you get into a $5,000 an acre place, $6,000, $10,000 an acre area, those people know exactly what their property's worth. And so you're going to offer a little bit higher percentage, but you start pricing it on a cash margin. Hey, I know I'm going to make $4,000 an acre on this property. You may be offering 50, 60% at that point.
Yeah, I agree too. I was just talking with someone about this the other day. There's definitely price points of what your offer should be. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, so if you're in that 2,000 acre range, you probably not going to get away with making 20, 25% offers.
Yeah, you might find a situation that you plug a hole for somebody that they just need the quick cash, need it now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's crazy things that happen all the time. Like Jen talked about on her episode where the lady's husband gotten Parkinson or Alzheimer's and then cut his fingers off his hand. She was priced right for the county, but she was solving a solution for that. And it was an extremely fair price for that lady because she probably gotten offers before. And this one was like, it actually made sense. So I think that you run into those situations at some higher acre places, but some people just get tired of it. You know, you hit those, but to make this a well-oiled machine, you kind of have to find where your threshold for risk is and what you think is a fair offer to get to the reward that you want.
Yeah. There's always going to be those anomalies like you just talked about. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think overall there's certain price points where you need to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, when I'm in that, I don't know, let's say 750 to 1500 range, I'm comfortable at that 35% offer.
Yep.
Underneath 750, I may go down 25, you know, mm-hmm. and then over 1500, I'm looking at that 35, 40. How much money do I really want to make on this deal?
Yeah. No, I agree. That's a perfect way to look at it. And there's, can you make it to at $1,699? Is this going to go up? And then my statistician buddy, you know, used to buy houses from me. Then he does land too, and he'll get down and start breaking it down. But he's like, Justin, and then this is where his mind gets boggled by this. He's like, Justin, if the average is $1,690 an acre, and I go at this rate, and then I go to this one, it's just I'm offering a different amount of money. It just the spread's too different. It doesn't make sense. And we see this a lot in the houses. Is if he's offering this percentage on houses at up to $2,000 square feet, then at 2,001 square feet, the house is going to price a little bit different. Well, the $2,000 or 2,000 square foot house is actually going to price more than the 2,001. And so you could see the smoke coming out of his ears because of he's getting stuck in the data. Yeah. Other than just kind of, for me, like stupid as a stupid does, just send the mail and go.
I think there's something to be said about both. I mean, I wouldn't let that boggle me down, you know, that 2,000 square foot versus 2,001. But I also don't want to waste money, you know, by just being stupid as stupid does, right? Yeah. I want to put like a fine line, good mixture in there.
I agree with that. And I think we both agree on that. Our methods may be a little bit different getting there, or how do we manipulate that data? I mean, you manipulate data for like a living. That's mm-hmm. like what you do. I do it for a living, but it's just, I'm trying to generate leads. Mm-hmm. So.
What else? I know we talked about something else.
Total volume of mail sending out.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge thing is like, you know, we sent out a bunch of mail last month and I had a couple counties that, you know, only pulled back like say 290 to 400 lines of data that actually mail went out to them. And we all added them all up. So people were like, they get to the thought process of, well, my strike rate should be this because this is what I was taught, you know, one for 300, one for 500, one for 1,000, you know, whatever that strike rate you believe you should have in your head. But, you know, if you say, hey, it's one for 500, and you send 597 pieces of mail, sometimes you get two in that last 600 or that last 400. So knowing which number that's going to be. So you have to send out mail. I mean, just keep generating your leads.
Because mm-hmm. that's a numbers game. I don't want to mail anything less than 1,000. Really, I don't like to mail anything less than 1,250 mm-hmm. just because of that numbers game.
And yeah.
In areas where I've sent 200, 300, 400 mailers, even though the numbers, you know, it should work out. It mm-hmm. just, it never seems like you get enough back to make a really good impact because although you may get accepted offers, you know, they may be landlocked or mm-hmm. they just might not do anything for you. And you can still say, well, I mailed out X amount and I got property back, but are they the ones you want to buy?
Yeah, no, I understand that. That's makes perfect sense. Landlocked property just pisses me off because I'm like, oh yeah, I got an accepted offer, but it's landlocked and it's my contingency. It's like number one in my contingency. But I did notice that my response rate came way down when I added that contingency right up front. So I don't know, you know, if I needed that ego push to say, hey, I got a response. But then I look in Landlock and it's just like, ah, it's not a good response though.
Yeah, you know, and I have that on my contingency too. You got to have a road, but people don't even, they don't even look at it. They almost seem, it almost seems like, well, I know it says this, but I want to sell it anyway. We'll see if we'll see what he says.
Yeah, see if we'll try it. And I can, I don't knock that hustle, but at the same time, I want, when I get a lead, I want a hot lead that's actually, you know, if we're arguing about $1,000 or $2,000, okay, cool. We can figure that out. But I would rather not get a call back from somebody that sent me a landlocked piece of property than get one and feel like, oh, cool, I got a response just because I can check that KPI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to get excited every time I got a lead, but now because there's so much landlocked crap coming back that I'm not excited until after I've looked at it.
Yep.
Because there seem to be a lot of land. Like, who are these people that are buying these?
And the thought process I kind of want to have on that is, well, you know, they bought it, so maybe somebody else bought it. And that's where you'll see some people turn those into buys. I'm a little bit, like on my land business side, I'm a little bit more lenient than I am on Plum, just because Plum, I'm extremely conservative. It's all about risk reward. This month, we hit over 1,000 properties viewed so far this year. It's crazy to think that, but you know, that much mail has gone out, that many deals have come back, and that we've gotten the opportunity to partner on some of those deals. But you know, on my land business, I may look at something a little bit different and take a little bit more risk there. But yeah, I mean, they bought it somehow. Somehow they were able to subdivide it with no access or access, you know, as an easement. So you start to run down those rabbit holes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that same thought as you. Is that, well, someone else, this person bought it from somebody, so why wouldn't I find someone?
Yeah.
But, I mean, and especially at the price that, you know, that they're buying it at, right? Yep. You got these $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 pieces of property, or even some that I mailed just recently that are $40,000 pieces of property, and you can't even get to it.
Yeah.
I mean, what a waste of money, in my opinion.
I guess you can somehow. I don't know. Like, it's like that always be closing mentality. Like, man, I know I offered you $1,000 an acre. I can't buy for that, but I'd give you $250 an acre for it. And maybe that's the play. And maybe some people were way better at it than us. And maybe I'm just not that risk adverse in it, because I believe that I send enough mail to get enough good deals that I don't need to buy that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I mean, if there's obviously someone making money on it.
Yep.
We're just, it's not in our comfort zone.
Maybe that's why our mailers go bust sometimes, is because we say no to those deals.
Well, I don't think that's a bust, because you're getting yeses.
Yeah, no, I agree. So what else you got there for why else your mailer went bust? We talked price. We talked amount of mail. We talked bad consistency in counties. You know, sometimes it's just not, you just don't hit that situation. I mean, it's human nature. And I, you know, it's like sometimes it just doesn't work. I think combined, I've sent probably 60 to 70 counties out. I've had 3 or 4 that just nobody responded anything. It makes you wonder if the mail even went there. But sometimes you're not high enough that everybody jumps on it. You're not low enough to get a bunch of hate. You just have people that don't want to sell. And I think that's a fair thing, you know?
Which is why part of what I do is make sure there's at least one other investor there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with that. And I understand that concept. My philosophy of this is that it works everywhere. Mm-hmm. You just have to figure out that right price. I mean, it's like walking into the mall. You can walk and talk to everybody that pulls up to the mall in their car and say, hey, I will give you X amount of money for your car. Somebody eventually is going to say yes, right?
Yeah. I was wondering where you're going with that analogy.
You thought I was going really far off, and I didn't. I brought it back.
I mean, that was fair, yeah.
And so you know, sometimes you walk 10 rows and people say no on all 10 rows. That's like a county. Each row is a county. But on the 11th, you might have 2 that said, you know what? Yeah, I'll give you that. You got cash? Let's do this deal.
So it's all about the price then. So would that be what we talked about earlier, being too low of a price?
Yeah, you could be too low of a price, yeah. And you could be too high of a price, and everybody jumps on you. I've shopped counties where I hit a little bit high in a spot, and you know, you have 12 yeses come back in that one, or 13. I've had 85 yeses before.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I'm like, man, I got property for days. I could buy the whole damn city. So it's it happens sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're all good points. I think don't just get into this where, oh, I got to go in and offer 25%. No matter where I'm going, it's going to work no matter what. I mean, that was kind of maybe been the idea when you're shopping desert properties back before no one was doing this. But now there's people involved. You got to put some thought into it, at least a little bit.
Yeah, that's, you know, you make a great point. You know, do you think you can mail too many people can be mailing a county at once? That's a real thing. You know, if you have a, you, I don't think that it's going to cause you not to eventually get a property, but you're competing against some other people sometimes. And we've seen that in household selling in a DFW market where we send a blind offer and the person has a postcard. They have 10 postcards stacked up. They take your blind offer, call every one of those people and said, hey, I've got an offer for $110,000 on a house. Guy with the postcard goes, oh, from another wholesaler, and they haven't looked at your house, I'll give you 112. And then they line everybody up to come inspect it at the same time, and then you start fighting over $1,000. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens in land.
Yeah. I actually heard a really good analogy that I always think of when it comes to that question, is there too many people mailing? Mm-hmm. And it's just imagine it like a credit card offer, right? You get a credit card offer in the mail one day. You don't need a credit card, so you throw it away. Mm-hmm. A week goes by, another credit card offer comes in the mail. You don't need a credit card, so you throw it away. And then 2 weeks pass, you get another credit card, and you're like, you know what? I really could use $4,000. So you take that offer and you accept it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works with the land business too, because people are getting offers. No. You know what? Yeah, I do need $10,000.
No, I agree. And Jen said it perfectly. Poor Sue, her husband cut her hand off. Mm-hmm. All his fingers off. She didn't need it before he did that. Now they've got a medical bill that they need to pay, and your money's sitting that's looking them right in the face. It's a solution to a problem. I agree with that 100%. I don't think we're saturated to a point to a niche that we can't do it. But you do have, you know, when we first started scaling up, it wasn't because of a need to hit a margin. It was, hey, if everybody's shopping 1 to 5 acres in the desert, why don't I shop 20 to 100 acres in the desert? Mm-hmm. Or why don't I go shop here in the mountains at 10 to 20 acres and see what comes back?
Yeah, so, there's more people doing that now too. So
yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great to see that. So, you know, your business has to always be evolving and looking at things like that.
I think we covered it pretty good.
Yeah. If y'all have any other suggestions of why you think your mailer went bust, put them in the comment section as you see this posted on Monday on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah. And while you're making comments on Instagram and Facebook, make sure you're giving us a follow at Casual Fridays REI. Make sure you're liking some posts, you're interacting. We want to talk to you. We want to get to know you. And do us a favor. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It really helps us out. And it guarantees that we keep coming back each and every week. And we love you for it.
Yep. Thank you. Have a great Monday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.